This is the Mind Your Business podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Mind Your Business podcast. My name is Matt Williams, and joining me today, as ever, is my very good friend, Alan Clark. How are you doing today, Alan?
I'm very well, Matt. Very well. Very much looking forward to our conversation, as always.
Good, good. We've got all the football talk out of the way off air. So we're right in the middle of the Euros. And we've been having a bit of chat about England and Scotland. But we're not going to do that on the podcast, Alan, are we? We're going to keep the podcast very business focused, irrelevant of what happens in the England-Scotland game tomorrow. So what are we talking about this week, Alan?
So we are not talking about England versus Scotland. But what we are going to talk is about brand names and value of brand. So getting into a conversation about branding and the value attached. And this has been sparked by an incident in the Euros.
Absolutely. So you will all by now be well aware, because this is going to be a week, by the time we've edited this and set it out, it's going to be old news probably. But this is all about Cristiano Ronaldo, who was doing a press conference after the game. And as everyone that's having a press conference at the Euros, there's bottles of Coke in front of them because Coke's one of football's main sponsors, right? UEFA, FIFA, all of that. Coke's a big player in that kind of sports sponsorship world. And he took the bottles and he moved them. And I mean, his awareness of where the edge of the frame of the camera was amazing. Because it obviously comes from his knowledge of free kicks and angles, right? And he's got his geometry absolutely dialed in. But he moved them exactly as far away from him as he needed to get them out of camera shot. Held up a bottle of water. And that was that. And it knocked 4 billion off of Coke PLC's value, which is just bonkers, isn't it? And that's what sparked our conversation. Now, you mentioned that you've seen Coke's actual sort of PR response to this. So why don't we start with that? So this is what he's done. I think it should be noted now that he's sponsored, or he has been in the past, sponsored by their direct competitor, Pepsi. So firstly, I think his whole drink healthily while you know, be careful about what you put in your body thing is flawed by the fact that he's taken the corporate dollar from Pepsi, who are no better than Coke, right? But anyway, what was Coke's response, Adam?
I think you're poking at a lack of congruency there from Mr. Ronaldo, but, you know, we're skipping on. So Coke actually came out and said something really calm and really measured. I'm paraphrasing now, but what they said was, in essence, we appreciate your opinion. We're open to the opinion and views of others. And actually, it's all about personal taste. And that's pretty much what they said.
Didn't rattle any cages, just... And I think, you know what? That's probably as good a statement as they could have made, right? What I think is interesting is that all the headlines were that it knocked 4 billion off of their value. What's interesting is if you watch what's happened to their stock value since, because Coke has been all over the headlines, their value now is increased from the point at which Ronaldo pulled his stunt. So my question is, was it just a setup? Was it some clever marketing thing? And actually Ronaldo has done that, but he's done it knowing that, you know, he's helping out Coke and there's some money being moving somewhere. That's my initial thinking now, because it was so well choreographed that it it's had such a beneficial effect to Coke. Who knows?
But we'll stay on the Coke, stay on that question. But 2 nights ago, Pogba did exactly the same thing with a Heineken bottle.
I didn't see
so,
that.
So, same scenario. Heineken, he was awarded the Heineken Star of the Match. And he was at the press conference and there was a bottle of non-alcoholic Heineken. Now, Pogba, practicing Muslim, so probably does have a view on alcohol, but he took the non-alcoholic Heineken and put it under the table and then started to talk. and Heineken had sponsored the star of the match. And
that didn't get, I haven't picked that up in the news, so that has not got the press coverage that Coke's has. And I wonder why. I mean, Pogba's no less high profile than Ronaldo, really, is he? Slightly lower, but not really. That's really interesting. I mean, I think let's talk about brands and football, because I think this is quite interesting. You look at the brands that sponsor an average football game now, it is 100% sport washing, right? This process of all of the brands, McDonald's, Coca-Cola, various booze brands, various betting brands.
TikTok.
In fact, TikTok, yep, Chinese government, Gazprom, right? All of these businesses, they're there because they're playing on the fact that everyone loves football, and they're just, it's sport washing, right? You do it, it's why you've got World Cups in Qatar and boxing matches in Dubai. It's to try and see through the human rights, see through the obesity, you know, see through the gambling addictions and the alcohol addictions. We'll nestle up next to football and take all that goodwill. Thank you very much. And I think that as a conversation on its own is really interesting, because one of the things, how does that relate to our listeners and smaller businesses? You need to be really careful who you partner your brand next to, right? We're very conscious when we recommend someone that they are of a level with us, right? That they are going to treat their customers with this client astonishment mantra that we have in our business. And I think football has gone a long way away from that. UEFA and FIFA have taken the money and don't care at all who is next to their brand, right? If whoever pays the most, they get there, they get their advertising. It's the easiest way in the world. How on earth are junk food businesses and gambling businesses sponsoring football clubs? It doesn't make sense, other than it's playing on that goodwill and it's trying to wash it through sport. That's my opinion anyway.
And do you think then, without knowing what conversations has gone on with Ronaldo and Pogba with respect to Coca-Cola and Heineken, do you feel then that there could be an element of these two individuals not wanting to be associated with these brands? Why should they? You know, they are the best players in the world. They've been asked to speak in a conference. They don't want to be associated with these brands and therefore have made a decision.
Absolutely. I think in Pogba's case, I think it's probably more valid than in Ronaldo's. Like you said, I think there is a fact that he's a practicing Muslim and that has an impact on his view of alcohol. But Cristiano and Ronaldo, I agree, he's all about healthy living and promoting all that side of things. But for 5, 6, 7 years, he was all over the front of Pepsi bottles. So my initial thought, before I saw him pushing the water onto people and his comment about be careful what you put in your body, I thought it was because he was a Pepsi-sponsored athlete. You have this with Nike and Adidas sponsored people, and sometimes when they play, where was it? I'm not sure what sport it was, but it was at the Olympics, and one of the national team's kit was sponsored by Reebok, and two of the athletes were Nike athletes, and they get paid a lot more from Nike to represent Nike products than they do from the National Athletics Association, and they would gaffer taped over, or they'd folded the clothes back to make sure that none of the Reebok, there was no photographs of these athletes with the other company's brand on there, even though Reebok or whoever it was had spent millions doing the deal to sponsor this national team. And then you've got these athletes, you know, the big ticket athletes as well, the ones that you'd want to be shown in the pictures, and they're cleverly making sure that they've got, and you think, it's bonkers, isn't it? But they are, those athletes, are they doing? They're doing it because they're sponsored by Nike, but they understand that who's paying them, but B, they are the extension of that Nike brand if they're a Nike athlete, and so of course they don't want them in the direct competition's clothing, right?
So reflecting on this conversation so far, and your knowledge of the business community and the insights into these large brands, what are you left feeling right now about the power of the brand?
I think it's much, it's more of a, it's an intangible thing, a brand, but it is of much more value than I think a lot of people realize. And we had this in our own business. We spent quite a bit more time designing the look and the feel of the business to make sure it fit with what we were trying to deliver and that it was modern and fresh. And at the time, I spent a load of time on the wording of our website and the feel of it, and not very much time on the visual side. And then I was very lucky that one of my clients looked at an early version of the logo that we'd kind of just half put together and said, you cannot put that anywhere near that website. The wording is fine, the tone is perfect, all of that is great, the photography is brilliant, that logo kills it dead. And I didn't realise at the time, and I said, okay, well, let's go back to a different design and get it done differently. And then it's amazing. That all happened. 6 weeks later, we had the finished vision, you know, the visuals of the business, put it on the website. And then I found the, in our Google Drive, I found the old logo. And this guy was right. You put it in there and it just killed the whole kind of perception of the business. And our brand, I think, is has stood us in really good stead. The fact that we spent that time at the start looking at it and understanding exactly what we wanted to be, I think there is a brand. We've managed to build a brand. If you'd have asked me 3 years ago, do I think small businesses can build a brand? I would say no, I don't think they can. I think it's all in the individuals, in the business owner, or it's in the product. But it's not. I think there is a definite ability for small businesses to brand themselves fully. And if they do it and do it properly, then it's a massive tool in their arsenal to differentiate themselves from the competition.
Can I give you an example of that? Literally a conversation I've had with a client 3 hours ago. And I'll, you know, in essence, this client are in the same industry, doing the same things, but they've come out of a franchise agreement and now going alone. And the quality of the brand they've got now is phenomenal. It's hard to describe, but good grief, it just looks phenomenal and also cleverly articulates the industry they're in just from the color. And the previous branding stated what they did, but now looking back, it really is, it couldn't be more polar. And actually today, for this conversation, I had a reminder about the power of the brand. And they are a small business, but good thriving business, but small business classed as. And I just know that now they are going to go strength to strength. And some of that will come from the branding, which is not, you know me, it's not my go-to in terms of coaching and business development. It's not where I start. Never has been, never will be. But I think I've had a couple of lessons in the power of branding with the Ronaldo, Coca-Cola, your insights, and then this difference in branding with this small business. I just know that's going to add 10%. You know, I'm talking decent uplift from the difference in this branding. It's quite profound, actually.
It absolutely is. It's amazing how even when we're interacting with smaller businesses, the brand is a massive part of that first impression as to whether you want to work with these people or not. It really is. And it tells a whole story. The amount of times when you look at someone's website and then you just you get introduced to someone and it sounds like, oh, this is really good. And then you look at the website and you think, oh, it takes you aback because the logo is done in clip art or it's just not what you're expecting at all. And it does. It has a massive impact on the first impressions. And I'll tell you what's a really, you know, when you've got your branding right, when your customers are proud to be customers of your brand. Right. So they want to get your logo on their stuff. So going back to sport, but football's really good at this, right? Football supporters, they want to wear the stuff of anything with their club's badge on, right? And actually, I've just thought of another. We started saying we're not going to talk about football. Now all we've done is talk about football in terms of sponsorship. Have you heard the story about Norwich City and their sponsor? This is exactly what we should be talking about. So, Norwich City, right, just been promoted to the Premier League. They've had 3 years of having, I think it's Dafferbet, one of these betting companies. And their fans weren't particularly keen because Norwich genuinely pride themselves on being a family club, right? Anyway, they announced 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, their new sponsor, a betting company called BK8, right? No one's ever heard of them. Their website just says they're an Asian betting company. It doesn't even say where they're based. They're actually based in Cambodia, right? But anyway, they did this big announcement. These guys have partnered with them for 2 years. They're paying them loads more money than anyone's ever paid before. And some Norwich fans thought, well, we want to find out who the hell these guys are that are going to be on the front of our shirts. Quick Google, literally, no like super spy stuff going on, right? They've Googled them, found their Instagram. And the method of advertising that this company has is basically taking very young women, dressing them in very little clothes, highly sexualizing, and having them run around and do silly things. And basically, it's very 1980s kind of, you know, it's just old and not fitting of anything that a modern business should be doing, right? And so the Norwich fans went up in arms because, like, how can you put this, how can you link our brand of family club with this brand of smutty, dark, nefarious Asian betting company that no one can get to the bottom of? And it 3 days later, binned the deal off completely, Norwich did. Came out, we made a mistake. We absolutely understand that the brand doesn't fit. The betting company came out and said, that's not how we're going to advertise going forward, blah, blah, blah. But the deal is dead. And it was on customer power, right? The customers have said, no, they're protective of that brand, more protective than the actual businesses of its own brand. And that puts it in exactly right. If you've got your, that, I think that, although it's a massive fail for the commercial team at Norwich, it's a massive win, if they step back, that you've got this passionate group of customers that are that passionate about your brand that they don't want someone else's logo like that anywhere near it. I think that's you can take that as a positive if you look really hard, right?
Oh, yeah. So what I think you're saying there is that the brand that is Norwich City, steeped in values, family values, that brand, its customers, i.e. the Norwich fans, are very precious with. As soon as you tarnish that brand, these guys aren't happy.
No, exactly that. And I think that should... You would think this is the last time this happens with Norwich, right? And going forward, they take a step back and they look at how everything they do actually comes back to that brand and don't take it for granted. And, you know, but I think small businesses don't necessarily have that ability to make that massive wrong choice and then bounce back from it. Yeah, Norwich are in a position where they, you know, it's a whole different relationship between them and their customers compared with the average business and its customers, right? Where you don't generally ditch your football club over a sponsor and go somewhere to a different football club. That's not how it works. But you would ditch your, I don't know, your local restaurant. If your local restaurant gets caught out for, I don't know, employing illegal immigrants or underpaying its staff or doing something else, you'd vote with your feet, right? And you go to the one next door. And so small businesses need to be ever more conscious of not just the visual side of the brand, the bit that everyone sees, but the values behind it and the perception of their customers, and understand that your reputation, right, as a business owner is what people say about you when you're not there, right? That's the fundamentals of your reputation, and how you do anything in business is how you're perceived to do everything. Yeah. So I said to you before we started recording, I've got a story about this that I think you'll find hopefully interesting. So we took on a new client, or we're about to take on a new client. The tender's gone to them. I cannot believe they're not going to say yes. Anyway, tune in next week, folks, to find out how my dreams have been smashed. However, these guys came to us, fairly successful business. We were chatting away, and I said, "You know, what led you to this point? Why have you come in to see Cypher to do your accountancy?" And they said, "Oh, well, we got an unexpected, well, not an unexpected bill, but we got a big bill from our previous accountant." And I said, "Okay." And this isn't uncommon. I said, "How much was the bill?" And they said, £16,000. I was like, "Blimey, like, what went wrong this year then that they billed you 16 grand? They stole nothing. They just sent us a lovely letter. Dear Mr. Client, we've just had our accounts audited. And the auditor, so not even the accountant, the auditor, so the third party, noticed that we hadn't billed you for the last 6 years. So here's our bill for the last 6 years, £16,000, payable in 14 days. Neat and tidy, job's a good one." Now, these guys were rightly a bit peeved about this. My first thoughts, and is where they went as well, is how can I trust anything these guys do on our stuff, on our accounts, if it takes 6 years and a third party auditor to spot that they haven't billed us £16,000? And that's exactly where I was. And that's that whole thing. Like, how you do anything is how people think you do everything. These guys now, they've got, they're like, we're quite happy to pay the bill. We're not happy, but we will pay the bill because we understand it's for work that's done. But we are not comfortable now that they've ever taken any time and care on what we've done, because look at how they've treated their own numbers. And there's an element of cobbler's shoes, right? Like, the builder's house is always the one that's finished last. If you go and speak to a builder's wife, they'll always tell you that he's too busy doing everyone else's house and never doing up theirs. And that may be the case here, but you just think, if that gets out, if these people go and tell everyone they know that their accountant hasn't billed them for 6 years, that's that brand of that business. Anything on their website that says that they're proactive and they help their clients with cash flow, all of that goes, there's no authenticity to that because they're not living it themselves, are they? So that, there you go. What do you think on that? And what would you do if you were that client? What's your initial thoughts if you were in that situation?
Exactly the same. You know, it's congruency or authenticity, probably slightly more congruency, but it's not congruent, is it? You know, it's we are specialists in financial discipline and best practice, but what we haven't done is charge you 16,000 over 6 years, and we've also had an auditor to point it out, and then to cap it all off, we're giving you 2 weeks to pay, even though it's taken us,
I mean, that is, yeah, an absolute,
yeah, we'll give you 2 weeks even though it's taken us 312 weeks to I think the maths worked, maybe not, 312 roughly weeks to actually not even notice our mistake. So we are the specialists, and we'll take 312 weeks. You're our customer, and we'll give you two. So yeah, a serious lack of congruency there. And then to your other point, therefore, what other things have they noticed? You talk quite a lot, and it's one of the reasons why Cypher is so good and up to so much, it's so exciting stuff, is that you quite often spot possibilities, don't you, that you can then go to the client with in terms of the money and how it's sitting and what about this and
we
what
try,
about
we
that.
We try our best.
Yeah, you do. Absolutely. More than try, you do. But I suspect that's not been happening there. So again, that's potentially 6 years lost opportunity, investment opportunities, whatever, you know, tax saving opportunities, you know, there's all sorts of things that I suspect have been missed that will certainly will be perceived as being missed. So I think that's a really powerful example. I want to ask you something. So we started the call with the Coca-Cola and Ronaldo, and you'd said the stock price had gone down $4 billion on the back of Ronaldo's actions, but now have risen above where it was. So what's going on there, do you think?
I mean, I think this is a wider conversation that we could have, because we've just been spent the last 25 minutes or so in amongst the football talk, talking about this. There's a tangible element to a brand. A brand is typically an intangible thing. You can't pick it up and touch it and, you know, feel it, but it does have weight and it does have value. And but then you look at Coca-Cola as a company, and it has this stock price, you know, that 284 billion, I think it is. That's like, there's a load of countries that are worth less than that, right? But if all it takes is one person to take two bottles of Coke and move it across and to lose, what's that, 2% off that, how much of this construct of the stock market and the value of a business like Coke, which sells a lot of product, so there is something substantial behind the value of the stock, right? It sells product, it makes profit. But then if you valued that business just on that, like we would value Joe Bloggs's pub on the profit it makes and its future earnings, that would give you a value for Coke, which would be well under the stock market value, which has got this perceived intangible brand appeal. The same with Apple, the same with Amazon, right? Yes, they make masses of profit, but actually there's a big chunk on top of their share price, which is purely this intangible goodwill in the brand. And that, how precarious is that? We had it with, it was just slightly before my time. Wasn't there a famous jeweler who came onto TV and said all this stuff is effectively crap? Is it Ratner? Someone like maybe that?
Yeah.
He came on TV. I'm going to Google him quick while we're talking. Came on TV and basically said, my products are worthless, right? He was jewelry. And he basically bankrupted his own business because everyone listened to him, took him seriously, and that was it. The value of his business is gone. Here you go. He jokingly said it was all worthless, and that was it. It plunged £122 million after one speech. So there you go. That how tenuous actually are these companies and their brands? Massively so. It's phenomenal, really. When you sit and take a step back, and we have this. I had this conversation with an estate agent. We talked about this before. I've got an estate. When we're talking about social media, you may remember I've got a client who, whenever you read his social media, he's winning everything. And it's because he said, I only put the good news onto social media. But what that means is you get the impression that this business is flying, and so you want to join in. You want to be associated with the winners, so you join in. And that's the element of, why do people queue outside of Apple shops for weeks? Because you want to be a winner and get the newest Apple phone. That's why people are getting them on the stock. They've got no idea. They don't understand the P&Ls and the balance sheets and the cash flows of that business. But they understand the brand, and they understand that it's winning, because all they see is how it's winning everything. And so that's where they chuck their money. And it's really powerful, isn't it? That's how powerful a brand can be. But also, how tenuous is it that it just takes one little thing? If every footballer now did the same with Ronaldo and refused to be interviewed next to the Coke products or the Heineken products or in front of the Gazprom stuff, how far down could they knock the values of those companies? They could knock billions and billions off of the price of the stock market, couldn't they?
Yeah, they could. The kids, from their context, their words and language, they're showing up with that brand, absolutely.
Because imagine those 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds that idolise Ronaldo. At that age, they're enough to say, you know, I won't drink Coke then.
Yeah.
And there you go.
This has been a very powerful lesson for me in branding. You know, I was open enough to say I was probably over here. I've certainly had a shift. I think it's very, very interesting in how a seemingly bulletproof brand can be brought down by a conversation, but by a statement, by even a physical movement of two bottles, in this case, is actually incredibly powerful.
And I'll tell you what, the bottle of what also stood out to me was, I'm pretty sure the bottle of water that he moved into shot completely unbranded. And there you go, that's the whole right. Water, as a just to finish off, because we're going to run out of time. Water, right? You can get water out the tap, but you spend, people spend millions a year on Evian and Highland or whatever it is, all the different brands. Do you imagine if Ronaldo picked up an Evian bottle instead? And what it would have done to their brand by putting an unbranded Coke bottle down? But UEFA don't have a water sponsor because there's, you know, the water brands aren't sports washing, are they? Because it's quite good and healthy for you, so they have no need to do that. But imagine if they did. Imagine if a water brand was there, it would have absolutely spiked their stock just from that one action. It's, there you go. Maybe he's missing a trick. Maybe he should try and get a sponsorship deal with.
Well, what you don't know is the conversations that are going on right now with said sparkling mineral water companies, and there's some big, big, big brands there. Who knows what might happen?
Yes, it is. When you get into that product placement, influencer marketing, we've got a client that uses influencer marketing. So they're a fairly young brand. They're aimed at youngish people, food on the go kind of stuff. And they go to the Love Island winners every year. Love Island's on TV. All the youngsters watch it. I'll have a cheeky watch every so often. I must admit, my wife thinks I'm mad. And then these guys, they know how much they pay for a 25-second Instagram video for these guys. The win in Love Island is not to cop off with someone and win Love Island and get the 20 or grand. It's to stay in long enough to build your personal brand so then you can sell yourself on Instagram. And these guys, they've got a guy and a girl from last season's Love Island, or the one before, because last one was cancelled. And they pay him £5,500 every couple of weeks for a 25-second Instagram video. Over the course of 6 months, that is hundreds of thousands of pounds to basically say, oh, I just ate this and it was lovely. And to find clever ways of doing that without literally sitting there and eating the product, but with their mates and having it in the shop. It's phenomenal. And how many of those can they push out in a go? And that's it. And again, those guys, they've got to be on it, right? If you have the Instagram influencer, as soon as they do something that's not on brand, all that money gets pulled and that's career done. You don't get second chances in that kind of world. So the whole concept of brand and reputation, it is all powerful, isn't it, when you actually sit and think about it.
And translatable between the biggest brands and the smallest of businesses, but it's stacking up. So that's a big insights for me today. Thank you.
So I really enjoyed this. I really enjoyed today. Hopefully our listeners are nodding along and saying the same. If not, let us know. We haven't had any particularly negative feedback yet, but we'd take it as a constructive, wouldn't we, Alan?
Absolutely.
We'd obviously defriend you on social media and never speak to you again, dear listener. But other than that, so that's 33 minutes, Alan. We should probably stop talking now and go about the rest of our day. So what have we got? What I wanted to say, actually, before we leave, is Alan and I have been, you know, we're being fairly successful with this podcast now. We've done it for almost half a year, which is bonkers. We're now getting invited onto other podcasts. So, Alan, I know you've done one or two, haven't you? What we'll do, we'll put the links up for these so that you can find us elsewhere, but also so that you can support the other podcasts that we're on. Because on Monday next week, which will be the Monday just gone for those of you listening live, or how, you know, on the day we release it, not live, I'm on the Money Mastery podcast that a lady called Amy Breslin does. I'll send a link to that. That's phenomenal stuff. I know, Alan, you were on. Were you on a radio?
I've been on BBC Hereford and Worcestershire. I've been asked to come on by Dan Baker to the Thriving Three Counties podcast. So that'll be soon. So yeah, it's really good to sort of mix it up, isn't it?
To spread the word and make sure you plug our podcast once you're out there. That's my job, is to see how many times I can plug our podcast whilst I'm on Amy's podcast. But we'll put the links out. But anyway, that's it for now. We're gonna leave now and stop waffling. So that's all from me. It's all from my good friend Alan. I hope you've enjoyed our ramble about football and brands. And over to you, Alan.
Yeah, I think that's harsh. It wasn't a ramble. It was seasonally relevant. And honestly, I've learned loads of insights today about the power of brands.
Goodbye, everybody. See you soon.
This is the Mind Your Business podcast.